make the more money and things like that. Like, I'm sorry, man. Like, I think it's very difficult. And then...
Well, pace of play comes into factor. We run it up and down.
I don't know. I think it's tough.
Happy medium is.
I don't love that rule.
Guys are going to get hurt. The award rule, yeah, I didn't love it either. Bonus question. Who's your favorite current non-NBA athlete? Number one in the NBA amongst NBA players. Patrick Mahomes was fifth.
Messi
is like 12th.
Oh, wow. Okay. Favorite Caitlin Clark. They went WNBA.
She's number two. Mbappe is right. He's tied with Messi.
12. Wow. Okay.
Number one. You would not believe this. Lamar Jackson.
Really?
Yeah. Favorite current non-NBA athlete. That. Wow. Justin Jefferson's on this list. Mike Tyson, Usain Bolt, Tank Davis.
Mike Tyson?
Yeah.
Most of these guys never even saw Mike Tyson fight live.
He's fighting this summer, baby. Let's go.
On Netflix.
Jake Paul.
Oh, we'll all be locked in, too.
Oh, we will be locked in. Mike Tyson. All right. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMG FM.
What an interesting
one. AC1 San Francisco. Shout out to Twitch and YouTube. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. Upgrade your savings dividend. Open a First NorCal First Class Money Market today. And you can now download the Odyssey app directly from our YouTube and Twitch pages. As we've added the QR code on both pages. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel. Just log out and search 95.7 The Game. And shout out to the Xfinity Mobile text line. Before we get the caller of the week, let's get to Dave in El Cerrito. Dave, what's happening, man? You're on the roast. You're on 95.7 The Game. What's happening?
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Listen, I've lived here a long time. Sadly, I'm aware of the upper income tax bracket penalties, essentially. And while I wouldn't be on the top of that bracket, I do know that by living in Florida, I save myself at least 13% in state taxes. If I am any NBA player, I don't know what my motivation is to come here. I love it here. We've had this conversation in the past. There are things that are very appealing to me here. But as Barkley referenced, that he called this place a boring town. And I think for a lot of NBA players, it might be. So I don't understand the motivation or argument for a Joel Embiid to want to come here.
Are you talking about the Bay Area? I don't mean to interrupt you. Do you mean California
or Bay Area? Not California. Okay. I consider LA to be completely different.
I agree with you.
Completely different. All right. I just find it a tough sell. I get that Kevin Durant came here to get himself some free chips. But I don't see that many other players wanting to come here. And I think, well, listen, he's part of the chip, but I mean, let's be serious. I mean, it was about as weak as move as you could get if you're a superstar. All that said, I don't know how many guys want to. I still believe they could have won titles with someone else other than Kevin Durant. Like another great player that wasn't Kevin Durant, but it was Kevin Durant.
Are you Steiny's relative? I wanted to hear him keep cooking.
Bless him.
I wanted to hear him keep cooking.
Disrespecting KD, disrespecting the Warriors, talking about free championships like it was easy.
He was
hurt, and we didn't even know he was going to come back for that first ring. Like, stop. Let's just stop.
What did the
49ers do in Eddie DeBartolo's heyday? You're trying to get the best players.
Okay. Forget that part about KD. The point about I don't know how desirable it is, I think that's a fair point of view.
Oh, it's a big point.
I think it's
NBA.
A very fair point of view. What, like, nightlife? Think about what a young player likes. That's why New York is so intoxicating.
No, I've been on this for...
Like, L.A. is extremely intoxicating because of the nightlife.
Yeah,
I don't think we even have anything close to that nightlife like we used to. Not that we ever had it on the level of them.
If you're a family man... You don't have a problem playing
here. I agree
with that. Because you're going to be chilling. You're not going to be in the clubs like that every single day.
Yeah, but I agree with that.
You know, you're a young player who wants to get active out there in the streets, then yeah, you will go to L.A., New York, Chicago, nightlife cities, whatever, up until 4 in the morning or whatnot.
Yes.
Now, the plus side is, if you are a young player and you got a lot of money, you got a couple days off, you could always take the PJ down to L.A. in 45 minutes and party in L.A. that same night. You know what I'm saying? So it's not that big of a deal. You come back in the morning. Come back for shoot around. We'll see you at 10 o'clock. We'll run some gassers and get the alcohol out of you. But if you're a family man.
I hear him, and I think he's right. Well, there's the cost of living, which even if you're a millionaire, and I know, oh, they're so rich. No, they do the math, too. They have people in their ear talking about how much real estate costs and how much they're going to lose in terms of the tax money, because I think that's a big part of California in general. The taxes is a portion. It's not everything. It's not the end-all, be-all, but it is. But I also believe that, like, nightlife matters to the young guys.
Does.
It really does matter to the young guys.
Matter. It does matter for NBA players. It does matter.
You know?
No doubt. And how many times could you go to San Jose or Campbell, California or Walnut Creek? Gets old quick. It does get old quick.
No doubt.
It's a struggle for single guys out here, man. I see a lot of them on our chat. They're struggling out here, man.
Well, and that's
Nightlife ain't appealing.
That's why I'm a believer. Like, at some point, when Vegas gets this freaking NBA team,
that's going to be a problem.
It's going to be a problem? It's going to be a massive destination for the NBA player, right?
You got to be careful.
I mean, of course you have to be careful.
Some people may be like Vegas. It may get old soon. How many times you want to do that every single day, every single year? I don't know.
Young people feel like they're immune to those things. Like, New York is intoxicating. I think Miami is intoxicating.
But you know what, though? We're not looking for
Atlanta.
Young players. We're not looking for young players to go to Shea Warriors. We've got a couple young players. We need some vets. We need some boys. We need some big boys.
Clay Thompson's a veteran.
He's still single. But I need some prime guy. Well, Clay's smart. He's pulling a Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
Clay ain't struggling. You know what I'm saying? Like, here's the thing. Here's the thing with you single guys in the chat. Y'all be complaining about being single and this and that. There's plenty of talent in the Bay Area. Don't get me wrong. This is a melting pot. If you're struggling out in these streets, then maybe come to my world. I could be your Chuck Woolery for you. And I could tell you what you're doing wrong. I'm telling you. Hey, like, somebody,
did you really just channel Chuck Woolery?
Dude, I'm telling you, man. So it's a melting pot. You got who's, like, here's the thing. You got black girls. You got white girls. You got Asian. You got Latina. You got everything. You got Mongolian if you want it. You got Russian. You got Serbia. You got everything. What the hell you doing? How the hell you out here single these days, man? It's never been easier to date. So for a young, you know what? I'm going to push back on that now. Now I'm talking myself into it and saying, you know what? This could be a destination.
Sam Lubman,
for
you're
young,
single.
Single guys.
Sam Lubman, you're single. What did you think of what he just said?
Sam Lubman's been on 15 dates in the last year.
That's true.
Evan Giddings, been
damn,
on 15 dates
true.
In the last year.
Balling.
You know what I'm saying? These guys can get out there.
The summer of love.
Come on. It's
that's true.
Out
I mean,
there.
If I could pull any NBA player, I'd be pulling
you know
market.
What? You know what it is? It's like some members of the Warriors. It's like some members of the Niners and the Giants. We need to hold ourselves accountable. It's not what's happening now. It's just what you're doing. You're struggling, son. Look in the mirror.
You're struggling,
sometimes I
son.
Tell these guys, dude, I see it all the time. I'm looking over at the table.
Sit down. I'm just disappointed.
Yeah, what's going on here?
I don't even know where we're going.
Dude, some of these dudes out here, I'm just listening to them. Talk. And the girl's just slowly on her phone. This guy's not listening. He's talking about what he has and what he's doing. No, y'all need to listen, young gentlemen. You need to listen to these women. Get gamed up. Come on.
Or at least look like you are listening.
Look,
have some follow-ups ready.
I'm just saying, if I look at the NBA and I look at just the Warriors and where they're at in the Western Conference, like, Texas is always going to have baked-in financial advantages, and their nightlife is really good in Texas. It is, for Dallas and Houston. It's inarguable. And then, you know, Memphis has become a hotbed. I don't know, but it's got great state, zero state income tax.
It's not like Houston just signs guys out of nowhere.
No, but they've gotten Dwight Howard.
They make a lot of trades.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, Joe, LA's got two teams,
no doubt.
Vegas will get a team at some point. Phoenix, Arizona has its own baked. I didn't even think about Phoenix. Phoenix and Arizona has its own, you know, state income tax stuff where they don't.
Is on YouTube. We got white, yellow, Puerto Rican, Tahitian. I don't know. We got so many of them.
Thanks, Joe Horn.
Call of the week. Call of the week. This week's caller is Samina in Las Vegas. It's last week's caller, but we're going to do it today because we didn't get to it Friday. And Samina has some real talk, man. She really blew up on Twitter. Here's the call of the week from last week. Samina down in Los Gatos. Good morning.
I absolutely appreciate everything that the Core has done for this team and for this franchise, you know, for the Bay Area. But, you know, at some point, you got to ask yourself, when do we stop playing people based on what they did for us? And when do we start playing people for what they can do for us? There's a difference. And I don't think there's any doubt that regardless of the fact that Clay's going to be a future Hall of Famer, maybe his ultimate days, his best days are behind him, because You know what? Clay and I had the same number of points in that playoff game. Mm. I just didn't get $46 million for that.
Oh, man.
Zero out of ten?
Oh, my God.
That was call of the week. Caller to the roast, and if your call is better than the rest, you could be named the caller of the week too. Samita in Los Gatos. I scored just as much as Clay.
Don't miss that break, bro.
All right, I won't miss that break. I'm telling you, man. Mongolian, Chinese, Japanese, Thailand, Vietnamese. You got guys and girls, dude. We're in a melting pot. If you're single out here in these streets, man, reevaluate your situation. Reevaluate your life. Plenty of fish out there for the sea for young and old people.
Unlimited possibilities.
So I'm not using that as an excuse. Young people can thrive in this market. Plus, you got the tech scene. Think about it. You're a youngster out here, and you're single, and you're looking to make something happen. You got Napa Valley right up the street. Who doesn't love wine? Come on. All right. More coming up. Rob Stats on Fire on the other side. Talk some Niners. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
That's a Sacaroni, baby.
This is Stephen Curry, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and the Butcher on 95.7 The Game.
So international. We did get a call from England. We did get a call from, I think it was Thailand. Where did we get a call from? Was it, no, we were down under. We went down under one time.
So international.
Yeah, we are international. Man. Man, we got a lot going on here on The Roast. If you need tips on dating, just call The Roast. We got you covered. Shasky's got game. Come on now. Don't shortchange Shasky's from Frisco. He's got Excelsior game. He knows people. Brianna's got game. Spadoni's got game. I know Lubman's got game. Lubman's batting like 350 these days, folks. I'm telling you, man. I've never seen him walk around so confidently.
No, I heard he's like Lamont Wade Jr. His on-base percentage is fantastic.
Late night Lubman?
Late night Lubman.
Wow. The summer of love to late night Lubman.
What's your OPS?
Wow. Late night Lubman.
He's slugging
high. I like
high.
That.
He's slugging high.
He's batting cleanup. Damn, you got moved up in the order.
Take a pitch.
Damn. So I don't buy that young guys won't come here. 49ers sign free agents all the time. They got the San Jose. They got Santana Rowe. Campbell. Then when that gets old.
NFL is very different than the NBA and Major League Baseball.
I know it's different.
Season. And that's another thing about the NBA. These guys realize that they're going to be in and out of airplanes and stuff and traveling at all times. So playing in cold weather cities during the winter is usually a no-go.
That's why Cleveland can't sign
guys.
And that's why Indiana can't sign guys.
Minnesota typically has been a difficult sell.
Yeah, no, they can't sign guys either. So it's always Miami, Houston, New York, L.A., of course.
I've always been surprised Atlanta didn't do better.
Yeah, I'm surprised, too. I'm surprised, too, Atlanta. That's a good call with the Hawks. They're always mediocre.
Like, in terms of free agent destinations.
NBA town. Yeah. It's a great NBA town. But maybe people don't go to Atlanta because they know it's too much trouble.
That's a good point.
If I go there, Lemon Pepper lose every night, Magic City, dollar bills flying in the air. Yeah, you can't live like that. I mean, John Morant's in Memphis. That's why he needs to leave Memphis. Memphis is a 45-minute flight to Atlanta.
Would you take John Morant on the Warriors?
Hell yeah, I would. I'll figure out the rest later.
T. Morant and Bonte Hill.
Ja-Ja's unbelievable. So is Rob Stats Guerrera. He's unbelievable, too. Especially when it comes to the Niners. Now, I don't remember his bracket poll. He comes out with the media bracket poll. I didn't even realize I was in it. I guess I played Murph. Did I win? Did I advance to any rounds? Rob, how did I do? Last year I made the second round. What did I do this year? Because it came out of nowhere.
You had a respectable showing, but Brad Graham from the SF 49ers is a freaking powerhouse, man. So he took it this year.
Yeah, did he beat? Oh, he took the entire bracket?
He took the entire crown. Wow. He knocked off last year's champ, Eric Crocker.
Wow. Boy, he's got too big time for us, Brad Graham. He's now getting paid. He don't come on our show. Rob, what's happening with Brendan Ayuk? Let's start here. We've been talking draft. It is draft week. I keep coming around to this, Rob. Why would I trade Brock Purdy's most trusted target, a guy who's second in the league in yards per catch? And I get all the financial components, but I'm not buying. They can't sign Ayuk this year. Maybe stagger some of the money and maybe move off Debo or Hargrave or Kittle next year. I'm just not buying that Ayuk's too expensive. Why would the Niners even entertain that?
I don't think they want to. I think it's going to come down to whether or not they can get Brandon Ayuk to agree to a contract. And Adam Schefter has said that Ayuk's desire to get paid is greater than his desire to stay in San Francisco. So I think it's just they'd love to sign Ayuk, but they have a price in mind, and BA thinks he's a top five wide receiver in the league, and I don't know if the 49ers think he deserves top five money.
So, I mean, it feels like to me, if he's going to get traded, they would do it either on draft day or leading up to the draft so they could have something in hand for this upcoming year. Do you feel the same way?
Completely agree with you. In fact, if he gets traded, he may not get traded, you know, until the team he goes to is on the clock so the 49ers don't get leapfrogged. They could wait that long because if you do it now, maybe somebody could leapfrog you and then the guy you want is not there. So if it happens, it may have to be when that particular team is on the clock. But I think it's absolutely on the table right now.
Well, let's play this out then. I'm looking at Washington. They've got the 2 second rounders. You've seen Jaden Daniels and Ayuk posting certain things on Instagram. Daniels posting a picture of him and Ayuk at ASU, and obviously Ayuk and his brother. I don't really know what exactly is going on social media there. They got 2 second rounders. Pittsburgh has the 20th overall pick, and then they have the 51st as well. Carolina's got 2 second rounders. If it wasn't a first, but it was multiple twos or a two and a three, do you think Niner fans would be outraged?
I would be outraged. A.J. Brown went for a first and a third 2 years ago. And if you look at the numbers that they put up in their career to that point, Brandon Ayuk and A.J. Brown are pretty similar. And the Eagles had to give A.J. Brown a new deal, which is exactly what Ayuk's new team would have to do. So if I'm the 49ers, why am I taking less than, I think it was 18 for A.J. Brown, a first and a third? Why am I going to take less than that for Brandon Ayuk?
Yeah, I hear you on that one. Now, do you trust the Niners to maybe move off of Brandon Ayuk and say they've had receivers? Obviously, they drafted Ayuk, they drafted Deebo. They also whiffed on many other wide receivers, including Danny Gray, who doesn't look like a player right now. Trent Taylor's back. We know about Dante Pettis and Jalen Hurd. Do you trust the Niners to be able to recoup on that type of production from an? You're not just trading Brandon Ayuk; you're trading a good run blocker. You look at McCaffrey's highlights; he's downfield blocking a lot for those long touchdowns for Christian McCaffrey. You're talking about a guy who the yards per catch. You're talking about over 1,300 yards receiving. How do you make up that type of production? Do you trust your rookie to come in under this regime and just come out of the park and knock it out the park right away? Because no receiver has done that under Shanahan yet.
It's not going to be easy, and we know Kyle Shanahan is incredibly hard on rookie wide receivers, on wide receivers in general. Mohamed Sanu told me that Kyle Shanahan used to show his wide receiver film when Shanahan was at Texas during team meetings. That is just incredible, but it shows you that Kyle Shanahan really thinks he knows how to play the position. He's tough on those guys.
What, did he catch 20 passes, Rob, at Texas?
I have no idea.
Dwight Clark only caught about 20 catches at Clemson and went on to have a hell of an NFL career.
That's when wide receivers were still lining up in a three-point stance.
I'm just saying.
Look, the thing to remember is, though, you don't have to – even if you get a first-round pick for Brandon Ayuk, you don't have to take a wide receiver in the first round. There are good wide receivers throughout this draft. You can get a first-round pick for Ayuk and strengthen your team in other areas along the offensive line. Maybe you get another defensive back. Maybe you go defensive lineman in the first round. You can strengthen your team in other areas. You don't have to pull the Javon Kinlaw, get a first-round pick, and then immediately draft a replacement with that pick.
What's the number one need for the 49ers in this draft?
I think it's offensive line. I don't know that the 49ers think it's offensive line, but we saw the Super Bowl. I am tired of seeing pass rushers come from the right whenever they need to in a must-pass situation, and they are almost always able to get home. This is a draft. This is a time where your greatest need matches up with the strength of a draft class. If you're the 49ers, I don't think that you can pass that up. Don't outthink the room.
Rob, who's some of the offensive linemen you're looking at if the Niners do go that direction with the number 31st pick, or if they move up or down? Who are some of the linemen you're looking at that could be a fit right away for the Niners?
I know a lot of people are saying Roger Rosengarten. I think you don't have to pick him in the first round.
This guy from Washington, correct?
Correct, yes. I think you can get him later in the draft. He's got all the 49er ties. He was coached by Ed McCaffrey. He's working with Joe Staley right now. We all love that stuff. And I could see the 49ers trying to sell that. Patrick Paul, the tackle out of Houston, is a guy that literally said in an interview recently, "I'm going to go higher than you think. Look for me at the end of the day on Thursday," which we know 49ers picking 30th, so he could be a name possibly. I don't care if it's a center, maybe Powers Jackson, the center from Oregon, or Powers Johnson, excuse me. I wouldn't mind that. Get something, okay? Fix it. How long do we have to wait to get an offensive line that's competent on the right side?
Yeah, I don't know if I love taking the fourth, fifth, sixth best tackle in the first round. I hear you, though, in the middle rounds. I'm with you on that one. To the quarterback. It feels like they're setting everything up for the finances of Brock Purdy, even if it's just for a year or two. And I trust that they'll have outs at this contract that they're going to work up with him, because that's kind of their MO here. They're going to be married to Brock Purdy for at least the next couple of years. Doesn't it feel that way?
Well, when you've got Jed York just blatantly coming out and saying he's ready to pony up the money, it sure feels like that. My question is, what if Brock Purdy gets hurt next year? Does that throw everything into question? Because if he stays healthy and produces like he produced last year, clearly Kyle loves him, so they're going to pay him. To me, the only thing that can derail that is if Brock Purdy gets hurt in 2024.
That's interesting there. Yeah, Jed York coming out, and we're talking to Rob Stascarera. You know, he came out and said, he's going to reset the quarterback market. It's like, man, we have to say that out loud. It's kind of like John Lynch admitting that he was at Patrick Mahomes Pro Day. It's like, boy, we need to rework the whiteboard. Yeah, we don't need to hear that right now, John. Now, look at that Debo's contract here, because it all comes back to Brandon Ayuk and what he's going to do. This offense did average nearly 30 points a game. It was the most dynamic offense, in my opinion, since the Niners last won a Super Bowl back in 94 and 95. So, Debo, moving forward here, Debo's contract. Is there an out after this next season? I believe there's an out with Debo Samuel, to which you could pay Debo or pay Ayuk, and then maybe you move on from some guys next season as you give Brock Purdy money. Now, what's the details when it comes to Debo Samuel and his contract alongside George Kittle, if you could fit that in?
So Debo Samuel's deal, if you cut him after 2024, it's a cap hit of $15 million if you do it before June 1st.
Correct.
But if you do it after June 1st, it's only $6.6 million. This is, again, after 2024 I'm talking about.
Right.
If you move on from Debo after June 1st this year, the cap hit is $11.3 million. So more than likely, this is probably Debo Samuel's last year with the 49ers, I believe. I think you're going to have to keep Debo around for one more year, make another run at this thing, and then you move on. You don't have to do that, because remember, the Eagles are paying two wide receivers. You don't have to, but if you want to, I think that is the best time financially to do it. George Kittle, you got to wait till after this year. You're not going to move on from George Kittle.
No doubt.
So play this year, and then if you move on from George Kittle after next year, it's $20 million to cap it. Because remember, they've restructured Kittle a couple of times.
Yeah.
So he's probably going to stick around for at least 2024 and 2025. And then who knows?
I mean, but what about McCaffrey? Like, I keep coming back to McCaffrey, and the reason why is, like, I know there's the running back market, but he's not your average running back, and what he means to this team is significantly more than really anyone else in the league. And you're going to have Debo, potentially Ayuk, and Kittle making about, if not more, than what he's making. I mean, the two wide receivers will make double what he's getting. Don't you think they're going to do something with McCaffrey at some point? Give him something? I just don't see him standing pat on this $14 million the next 2 years. I feel like they're going to do something with him, and that's kind of not been talked about.
Yeah, so I looked it up before I came on, and I was like, wait, Christian McCaffrey's making what? Like, he is a steal right now for the 49ers. His cap hit is $14 million this year. It's $14 million next year. That is absolutely fantastic. It's going to be a really interesting question, because we all saw how he unlocked the offense when he arrived, whether it was Jimmy Garoppolo, whether it was Brock Purdy. He's going to be 28 this year. He'll be 29 in 2025. And then you got to decide what you want to do with him. And how much money do you want to pay to a 30-year-old running back? Now, I know he said, you know, he's durable, and all, his other injuries were not due to overuse and blah, blah, blah. But the history of the NFL says otherwise. So that is a massive, massive decision for the 49ers to make after 2025.
Yeah, I wouldn't budge. I wouldn't, like, if McCaffrey's not saying nothing about the money, I'm not going to say anything about the money. And I love Christian McCaffrey. I'm all about players getting their bag. But I'm kind of with you there, Rob, because a lot of the conversation last year, remember, midway through the year, McCaffrey's touching it too much. We need more Elijah Mitchell. We need more Jordan Mason. You saw the offense when McCaffrey stepped off the football field. It was pedestrian at best. He unlocks everything, like you said, Rob. So what do you think happens? What is your final verdict? Is Ayuk getting moved before the draft or during the draft?
I don't think Brandon Ayuk is going to get moved because ultimately the 49ers don't want to move him. They want to keep him. And I don't know if the 49ers are going to get an offer that they see is good enough to get them to move off of Brandon Ayuk. And the 49ers have the leverage. He's on the fifth-year option. They could franchise him 2 years if they wanted to. So I think unless the 49ers get blown away, he's not going anywhere, and I don't think anybody's going to do it.
All right, there it is. Rob Stats Guerrera, of course, Stats on Fire, Gold Standard Network, 49ers, always kind to us here on the Morning Roast. Rob, take care, man. Thanks for joining us on such short notice.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. Draft day Thursday. Draft is coming, folks, on Thursday. What will the Niners do? They have a plethora of picks. 10 picks in all. Number 31 in round one. Number 63 in round two. Number 94 in round three. Then they have three fourth round picks. 124, 132, 135. They have a fifth. 2-6 and a 7th. And the Niners have done well in the middle round. So we're ramping up for the NFL draft. We are. Warriors right now in Cancun watching the playoffs. Niners are on the clock this week. And, of course, the Giants, they got to figure out what to do with this hitting. But they're playing better baseball. They are.
You keep bringing up the Christian McCaffrey touches. Last year, regular season, like 350 touches, basically. Yeah. And there's this line of demarcation, 400 in a season, whether it's playoffs or not.
Yep.
400 in a season. And then the next year, guys fall off the map. Like DeMarco Murray, even Derrick Henry has been an outlier. He has been banged up the last couple of years.
Sean Alexander had a big fall off back
Priest
in the day.
Holmes, there's a lot of guys.
Larry Johnson.
Where do you think McCaffrey all time right now for touches from a running back position? All time right now, just 6 years into his career.
Wow. Well, because you factor in the pass game.
All time touches.
He's got to be top 20.
He's 83rd overall.
83rd.
Right. But hear me out. In 1 year, he is going to leap all the way into the top 50 all time.
Wow.
Right? And so you look at the names ahead of him, and almost like this precipitous drop off the planet once you get to about 1,700 touches. All right? D'Angelo Williams. I mean, I'm just going to read some random names.
D'Angelo
Garrison
Williams.
Hurst. Yeah. Priest Holmes. Mark Ingram. You know, Jim Taylor. Steven Davis. Maurice Jones-Drew. Ezekiel Elliott. Chris Johnson. Herschel Walker. Like, we are in uncharted territory, and it is a gamble. I freely admit this. And if I'm McCaffrey, I probably only have one big payday left. Like, if I'm being realistic with my NFL career, and I think Niner fans understand that, like, we're very lucky to have him. He is very important, but you do have to, like, you have to pay him, but you have to also utilize
him.
I think you're going to have to, because I think if I'm him, I'm talking behind the scenes.
Next year?
I just
think they give him new money this year?
Yeah, I do. That's why I think the Ayuk or Debo, some move is going to happen to free up some money to get him money now and then Brock next year. And I hate being the guy because I don't like paying anyone prematurely.
But Shanahan does feel like I could find running backs. I could find talent. Like the conversation always comes back to Shanahan and saying, hey, man, I'm an X's and O's guy. I'm one of the best offensive minds in football.
I mean, this is a first ballot Hall of Famer.
I agree.
With Jerry Rice, Roger Craig, Joe Montana, and people think he's as talented as any of those guys.
I hear you. And he's been healthy for the last 2 years.
I mean, he really has.
Then the previous 2 years, he was unhealthy. I take the chance on McCaffrey. He's such a good guy. He's such a good player. He does so much. We talk about gravity with Stephen Curry. The gravity Christian McCaffrey creates on any down is, man, you could credit him for taking off so well at the wide receiver position because McCaffrey takes so much pressure off of these wide receivers and tight ends because he could do so much with the football.
That's a good point.
I would like to draft somebody to back him up, whether it's Elijah Mitchell. Whether it's
I just think he's so unique. It's so hard to find.
You're not going to find nobody like him.
I mean, like the Rams have been searching for the next Marshall Faulk for 20 years.
They also signed Patrick Taylor Jr. from the Green Bay Packers from last season. He's okay. Didn't play a lot, obviously, with Aaron Jones there. But I don't know. I think McCaffrey on the Niners. I've heard nothing about it. Now they know he has 2 years left with $14 million. I think the Niners would wait it out. I don't know if there's anything happening behind the scenes because McCaffrey is worth every penny. And if he asks for new money, what are you going to do?
Absolutely worth every penny.
Not pay him? What if he holds out?
I just don't
see McCaffrey holding out
like that. No, I'm with you. And it's not his demeanor. But we did a lot of talking about the hierarchy in an NBA locker room, which I thought was a fascinating point of view that we don't give enough – we don't give enough credence to. Yeah. And I just look at it from this standpoint. Like, and I get it. Running backs don't make X. I understand all that. He's not just a running back.
Yeah, that also got debunked this year because running backs got paid.
No, I'm with you. But like,
I think the league realized how important running backs are.
So if you're him, I'm just saying, if you're him and you're like, man, Debo's going to make that much. Ayuk's set to make that much. I'm the best player on this team. You know, like, I can understand, and again, this is not in his nature. This is just me talking. Like, it is the most physically demanding position, I'd say, outside of linebacker, where every play could be your last play. Every single play. So, man, whew.
So the odds may be being your last play as a linebacker or running back, but let's be real. Your last play could be at any position.
That's true.
You see a receiver running around. I just look at ACL. You know what I'm saying?
I just look at running back like you literally are like done.
Yeah, I mean, you get hit every single play, but they hit on every play, every position. I mean, maybe not so much as wide receivers, corners, but I mean, you can get hurt. That's football. That's life in football. That's life in football. But you know what? Let's not even bring that up. He's under contract for the next 2 years, $14 million a pop. Unless he says something, then because that would have got out by now. That would have got out. The agent maybe floated it. Somebody would have floated that out there.
Or they could be working on something quietly behind the scenes.
Maybe that's what's happening with Brandon Ayuk.
I mean,
and Ayuk's just out here walling out. I don't get that. I honestly don't get the whole unfollowing teams and unfollowing players and you're trolling and you're doing this and you're doing that. That's, you know, in a way, I think the reason why people, like Debo's an all-time Niner, in my opinion. But I don't think everybody rocks with Debo. And I think the way Debo handled his contract negotiations turned some people off. When you're in the club and they're like, hey, Niners, and he's like, nope. And he's talking about the Jets and he's unfollowing and he's deleting photos.
You think
photos.
The majority of people are that dialed in?
I don't think the majority of people are that dialed in, but I do think people who are dialed in, they get turned off by that stuff.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And it makes you not likable. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, Debo's still likable.
But then he plays.
But then I'm noticing a lot more people are critical of Debo than they were a couple years ago because of the money and because of the way he handled it.
On the field, he has an attitude. Like, when they don't win, he sometimes can come off very petulant.
But Ayuk is quiet.
Yes.
But also wide receivers, we know this position has been labeled as Debo's for many, many years.
True.
For over 20 years. This is wide receivers.
We had Crabtree and T.O.
Yeah, we know all about that.
Two of the bigger ones.
And then, look, Rice is the greatest of all time.
He held out.
But right, he had his Debo tendencies,
yes,
too.
Yes, absolutely.
There's no doubt he did. So this is just the way they move. But that type of stuff does turn people off. It's like, oh, you doing all this. They both have cried out loud. We heard from more people being more critical of Bosa because of the holdout.
Yes.
And then midway through the year saying, well, I think I started slow because of the holdout. It's like, well, that was your choice. And I get why he held out, because you get hurt in practice, you're not getting that same money.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, it's like you held out. And the way you held out, and then all of a sudden you're making excuses. So now all of a sudden we're watching Bosa very closely, and we're saying, boy, 10 and a half sacks? Yeah, it ain't good enough.
No. I mean, and I thought that Debo had a fine season by most accounts, but for him to replicate 2021 feels like that's not going to happen again. And I think adding McCaffrey changed the value of Debo Samuel. I really do. I think it did. I look at what Saquon Barkley made this year. Because, you know, we talk about all these wide receivers. Right. This guy got that. This guy.
Right.
Saquon got basically a three-year, $38 million deal with $28 million, $26 million in guarantees. I don't think Saquon's as good as CMC. Nor do I think he's been as good the last 2 years as CMC.
He has the talent to be as good as CMC. He just hasn't stayed healthy.
Right?
It's like if you started from scratch and you entered the NFL draft, Saquon tape. Now, I think Christian McCaffrey had better tape at Stanford than Saquon did.
Saquon's pretty good. They're both very close.
But
I agree.
More people will probably take Saquon because of the size.
Probably.
And he's just as quick, just as many moves.
Well, I think also we did a white guy thing with McCaffrey. I think it's fair.
That pissed me off, though, because I always thought, boy, that's Reggie Bush. He just happens to be white.
See, I thought it was Marshall because Reggie.
See, that's
white.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, I thought because Marshall could run between the tackles really well.
But Reggie did it. He did it well.
I just thought Reggie would be better.
I thought he'd be better. But when he ran between the tackles with Miami, he ran four and he had a good run with the Lions. But no, I thought we're both on the same page.
They're very close. I mean,
like, because Bush did the slot thing. Marshall Faulk. Boy, Marshall Faulk, you put him in a slot. He ran it.
San Diego State, they got his car.
But I'll never forget. He was playing with the Rams. They're playing in the Georgia Dome.
God, he was so
playing
sick.
In the Georgia Dome. And somewhere on Madden's on the call, and they line Marshall Faulk up in his slot, and he runs a quick slant like he was Jerry Rice and takes it to the house. I'm like, damn, that's a running back.
Well, he's one of the best players I've ever seen.
Right? Yeah, and that's Christian McCaffrey.
I know, he was that good.
You know, he's that good. So I don't know what you do here if you're the 49ers heading into the week. I just say you load up with these 10 picks, you get the best players. Damn. But see, look, real stuff, Bonte 510. I'm a diehard Niner, but lost respect for Debo, how he went about his contract talks. That stuff matters. And I'm hoping Ayuk stays and he just tones it down just a little bit. Just a little bit. Don't troll your old fan base about being in Pittsburgh. You know what I'm saying?
But what if he's thinking that he'll never get the appropriate respect here because of the other stars that are out here? Like, we've talked a lot about Kevin Durant wanting his own thing and trying to do different stuff. I mean,
football, you got to know it's 53. You're never going to get more love than a quarterback.
This is Ayuk's opportunity. Right. I get it from his perspective. He's a JUCO guy who has an opportunity to make some real money.
And he's going
to
make that real money here with the Niners. But if you become a Niner and you win with the Niners and you play at a high level with the Niners, you will always be remembered.
That's true.
Always. Number 11 jerseys are out there. They're out there. We're already out here saying you're the best. Like, going into last year, I remember I was in the minority. But I was like, Brandon Ayuk's the best pure wide receiver on this football team. That was not last season, but the season prior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so Ayuk's going to get the love here. You're never going to get, if he goes to Kansas City, you're never getting more love. Or if he goes to Pittsburgh and Russell Wilson is popping and he's having a big year, but Russell Wilson's going to get all the love. Mike Tomlin's going to get all the love.
I still can't believe he's in Pittsburgh. They got Fields and Wilson.
I'm not mad at that.
I just feel like CMC, there's something, they're going to have to take care of him a little here.
Right.
And I know everyone, just play on the deal. I think he's too important. I think where he's at in his career, how they use him, I think they're going to take care of him.
So who's more important in this offense right now? Out of all the players, who's the most important player
for next year? CMC. But if I'm going
to second most important?
Again, I go back to value for the money. I think it's probably tight end. I hate saying that because I love Ayuk. But tight end, because the money that you...
I don't even care what you say right now because you didn't name quarterback. And that's why we're talking about Ayuk.
I'm assuming quarterbacks, my bad. I was doing the math.
I was just saying, who's the most important player on offense?
Most important is CMC, and then second would be Brock Purdy.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
But the fact that...
I thought you meant weaponry.
Gotcha. Because you didn't say Brock, and I was going to say, boy, that says a lot. Because Jed York... It's talking about resetting the quarterback market with Brock Purdy.
If it was Nick Mullins, we would be having a lot different conversation.
Jimmy Garoppolo?
You want to talk about a man who picked, lifestyle over playing football. That's why he's with the Rams. That's why he went to Vegas.
He might play against the Niners next
season. Well, not after a suspension. I mean, we might have two games in the first six games. He might not play.
Jimmy,
remember, performance-enhancing suspension.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Got the Raiders off $10 million. Thank you.
Who are the Raiders going to pick?
Who's everybody draft crushes? That's what I want to get into later.
I have one.
Niner fans draft crushes.
I'm not giving it to you today.
Why?
Because it's another day.
No, I got my draft crushes. I got a couple. That right tackle for Georgia is probably going to go higher than I want. Mims.
Real quick on this.
I love linemen.
I don't like taking the fifth or sixth best tackle in any
for prospects.
I know, but I'm saying just wait a little. Like, is it depreciably better to have the sixth best tackle or the eighth?
Yeah, but I don't know if this guy could be the best tackle in his draft. You know what I'm saying? He may be number six right now, according to experts. But this guy's 6'8", 340 pounds.
Unless it moves. A true generational lineman, I wait on linemen. I like playmakers. I like swinging for playmakers in the first two rounds.
I love Amarius Mims from Georgia.
Really?
Not gonna lie. Dude, six. You see him block downfield?
I know. The tall guys struggle, though.
They do, but he's 6'8", 340, and he's a mauler. How many times did we talk about Trent Brown? Boy, we missed Trent Brown. He ended up winning the Super Bowl with the
great
Patriots.
Feet.
Great feet. This guy Mims looks like he has great feet. He gets out in space. Damn. But see, everybody's sport's different. I'm with DG here. Everybody's board's different.
Oh, of course.
Mel Kiper may have this guy as the sixth best lineman, well, but John Lynch may have him as the best lineman.
So I'm looking at this right now. Like, NFL.com has us taking Patrick Paul, the offensive tackle from Houston. Mel Kiper has us taking Jordan Morgan, the offensive tackle from Arizona. Right? Like, there's a zillion of them. Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma. That's who PFN, Pro Football Network, your boy Florio, has us taking in the first round. Sporting News, in the second round, has us taking Blake Fisher, the tackle from Notre Dame. So, I mean,
it's
I listed five different guys.
That's their board. We don't know what Lynch's board looks like. We don't know what McVay's board looks like.
We did so much homework during COVID on draft prospects. No one had Brandon Ayuk.
No, nobody had Brandon Ayuk. We were all locked in on CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, Justin Jefferson. And even Justin Jefferson was out. It was Jeudy, Wham.
I wanted Cesar Ruiz, the center.
Henry Ruggs. Michael Pittman Jr. Yeah. He has some buzz.
Yeah.
Jalen Reagor has some buzz. I remember those draft shows. Boy, y'all thought I was a Clay apologist. I was all over CeeDee. I wanted CeeDee Lamb so bad.
But now you're saying that Ayuk's as good as CeeDee Lamb.
Well, the production. CeeDee Lamb's still good. I'm the one who said CeeDee Lamb's number one receiver.
You in America.
No. You were pushing back on that. And then CeeDee Lamb went on some historic streak where he goes five straight games and has like 800 yards.
8,000 targets a game.
But he's making the most of them.
Yeah, he is.
He makes the most of them. You could get Deebo got 13 targets Super Bowl. How many catches did he get? Three? Tate completes his throw to Deebo Samuel. Damn. Still don't have a parade down Market Street.
That's why this year is so important.
Yeah. We got a few minutes here before Fast Five. Quick thoughts. We got Nuggets and Lakers today, game two. We got Sixers and Knicks, and then we got the Giants at the Yard against the New York Mets. Keaton Wynn on the mound. And I think
he's pitched really well.
I think he's pitched better than his 1-3 record, the 4-9 ERA, going against Quintana.
He's gone six innings pretty much every time out.
But how about the Mets? They were 0-5. They're now 12-9 on the season, coming into Oracle Park.
And you get 2-3 from the Dodgers in L.A.
I know. Yeah. And we get to test drive Pete Alonso in Oracle Park. I'm ready for that.
Pete Alonso batting .241. He's got six jacks already. Yeah. How about Francisco Lindor batting .188?
I like Lindor a lot, too.
Starting Marte.
He had a big tater against the Dodgers, I think, on Saturday,
He did. Dodgers are getting back Walker Buehler probably next week.
Yeah, Capri Pants.
Yeah.
They're coming to a town near
Capri
you.
Capri Pants. Yeah, the Capri Pants do bother me. You got the Capri Pants.
Robbie Ray's coming. He's got his Capris
Capri
ready.
Capri Pants with a cup of Starbucks. You know what I'm saying? It's just like Marina all over my forehead. I love
what
the Marina
going
here
on
the city.
Here?
Well, boy.
Lubman, how was the press box yesterday? I saw some photos.
It was pretty chill yesterday.
It's like Murderer's Row.
Always a fun time.
Of baseball reporters.
It's always fun game.
Yeah, you know, I mean, those reporters, the guys who do the hard work, they sit on the left side. And it was, you know, me and some of the radio guys, you know, we were chilling on the right side. And yeah, it was a fun time yesterday. Got to hang out with Steven Rizzotto, Steven Ruderman, Vinny Cestone. That's the crew.
How's Vinny doing? Long time no see from him.
Oh, he's doing good. I mean, he struggles when the Giants are below .500.
Why?
So.
He does struggle.
Because he wants to be. If you guys think I get upset about the Giants, he takes it to a whole new level.
He doesn't take it well.
I didn't know you knew Vince.
Oh, I know Big Vince. He used to be at Crown 4. Was he still there? Where's he at now?
No, he's working with Bay Area Sports Wrap right now.
Okay, there you go.
Speaking of which,
Young.
You texted the group thread about the Apple Plus baseball Friday night.
Oh, yeah.
What'd you think?
I like the production. Every time I watch it,
yeah.
The 4K cameras
are way better.
The cameras, not the even angles, when not you had a home run, the way they show the players crossing on plate.
You could switch
video
it, to,
yeah, you could switch
to the Giants broadcast.
Yeah, no, I like it a lot. The broadcast team needs a little work.
I'm with you.
But you know what? I'm not mad at it. They're just coming out. Mm-hmm. Like, Fox wasn't great when it first started with NFL football.
No.
Over 30 years ago.
No.
Now look at them.
I'm. You know what? Fast Five. I'm going to tell you what.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
Talking about Deebo. Don Dada 2,1200. And this is another conversation. Bonte, how many balls was catchable for Deebo in that Super Bowl? See, I'm not gonna go there with Brock Purdy.
When I seen him throw that ball, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, oh my God, that's not getting completed. That's what I thought.
Oh, God. Another day. Let's just keep chipping away at Brock.
No, I mean, Brock's fine. But no, he's I cannot not. See what I saw in the playoffs. Okay. I cannot see what I saw in the playoffs. We're you know, not hard on Brock.
Here's what I can't unsee. I've become a 4K HK snob. And I will accept nothing less. Look, you know, I know they're your partners. I love them. We've got to upgrade the camera work just in general on a lot of these local broadcasts, because when I watch an Apple Plus broadcast in 8K or in 4K, like, I spend a lot of money on my televisions. It's just, it's gorgeous. It's unbelievable. It's beautiful. It is unbelievable. When NFL has to stream through Fox and it's on KTVU and you lose like multiple layers of the high def, it drives me nuts. Drives me nuts. I have become an 8K, 4K snob. Sports, fix all your cameras. Bare minimum, 4K, all cameras. Here. That's it. Sorry.
My final thought. Can't believe I'm going to say this. I'm going to sound like Danny Freisinger after the Warriors went to 5 straight NBA Finals and said, you know what? It's refreshing that the Warriors are not playing high-level games this year. I needed a break. And I ripped him. I never forgave him for it.
Oh, no.
But with that said,
oh, no.
I have been enjoying these NBA playoffs with no stress.
Where Freisinger was right. God.
With no stress. I'm out here chilling, just watching the league, seeing how the Warriors can reload. I can't believe I'm saying this. I wanted the Warriors in the playoffs. I miss the fact that they're in the playoffs. I don't get to take my photo of playoffs on the court. There's no playoff games around here. They're in L.A. Like, it's... Go to Denver if we want to watch a playoff game. I don't know, but we can't go to SAC, can't go to Chase Center. But I have enjoyed the playoffs. And I have enjoyed more time with my family, not having the Warriors around. So a nice little break from the Warriors not making the playoffs. But don't make it 2 years in a row. Don't do it. I need you back in the postseason next year. It's reload season for the Warriors. That's all. Reloading. Recalibrating. Not rebuilding, but retinkering.
Retooling, right? That's what the Lakers are going to need to do when they get ousted by the Denver Nuggets, unfortunately. It's not looking good. They had the perfect half of basketball, and they were up 3 points. Like, that said everything you needed to know about how the series will probably go. But I'm still pulling for them because I want that jersey, Bonte. I want that LeBron jersey.
What was the jersey?
If the Lakers win this series. So.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because you're talking big mess.
No, I wasn't. I was not talking mess.
I'm not
going
to have to spend $150 on a Lakers jersey. I'm not going to have to do that.
We'll see. We'll see.
What do you want, the Sunday
white? This is a legacy game.
Stay tuned.
Legacy game tonight for D'Angelo Russell, Austin Reeves, Rui Hachimura.
Hey,
big boys and LeBron and AD showed up. The other guys need
to. Spadoni, you want me to get those Sunday whites, the Sunday white Laker?
I kind of like the purple.
Actually,
though.
I'm not going to lie. The Sunday whites are nice.
They do hit. They do pop.
I didn't like that they were wearing their whites on the road. Like, I hate so many jerseys in basketball right now. Just wear the home whites.
Think about all the teams who wore home whites. OKC, they won. They well, did. All the home teams won, actually.
Well, they did. Well, and, hey, all the home teams in the NBA and NHL, 14-0 this weekend for playoffs.
Well, I expect some chaos today. I expect chaos in the game number two. When the adjustments come. Lubin!
Yeah, my final thought is, it is so fun watching the Jung-Hoo Lee effect take hold at Oracle Park. You're hearing the Jung-Hoo Lee chants every time he steps to the plate, and you can feel the energy start to shift as I do my little Jung-Hoo Lee dance off camera.
He is a player.
He is. It's so much fun to watch so far, and he's enjoying it. Bob Melvin had a great line after the game on Saturday. You know, he knows that the fans love him. It's the relationship between Giants fan base and Jung-Hoo Lee is off to a smashing start.
Did the fans love him getting thrown out of second base yesterday?
Well, you know, not everyone
could.
I'm kidding. That was a tough pitch. It was high outside, just perfect pitch
really
placement for Moreno to throw him out there.
They knew it was coming. Hey, Shasky, what are you about to do right now?
I'm about to go golfing.
With who?
Steiny and Goo.
And where at?
Stone Tree in Novato.
For what?
ATCO Pest Control.
Oh, ATCO Pest Control Golf Invitational.
I need you to do me a huge favor.
I'm going to do my best Scottie Scheffler impression.
Who are you golfing with?
I don't even know.
Oh.
My wife went through my phone.
No, she didn't.
What did they talk about on Stardew Guru today? Playoffs? More Warriors? We still haven't got to Kuminga and Moody and what the Warriors should do with them. But we could do that tomorrow. That's coming up tomorrow. Up next is Steiny Guru. Have fun, everybody.
Three career farts in my 12 years on air.